as Justine said, we went on our women's retreat at the beginning of this month, and there's always something about a special bond when you go on a retreat with other people, and I saw that. I'm sure all of you saw that as well. We had a theme. It was called Testaments. That was Testa with Mint, M-I-N-T. And what that was, the girls spoke on different words, different testimonies. So it was a testament with a tribute with flavor to it. So they were given a list of words they could pick from and pray about and see which words that resonated with them, and they spoke on them. And it was, as you listened to the women speak, you knew that was the word that God wanted them to speak. It was amazing. And I'm sure you can all agree with me on that. And we had a wonderful time in the Lord. And I love seeing the bond that happened afterwards. I like to observe people when they worship. And when someone would speak on something, you could see somebody in that group that really resonated with what someone was saying, and that's what this was all about. He does deserve the glory, and that's what we were there to do, and that's what we're here to do today and every day of our lives. As Tammy spoke in Sunday school today, you know, he told us to be disciples and go out and tell others about him. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. This is a season of telling your story to others, whether it was a horrible season that you went through, but you had a major story. Somebody else has gone through that. And whether that story was over or it was years ago, there is somebody somewhere that needs to hear your story. And that's how we draw closer to the Lord, and with encouragement. Encouragement was one of the words. So we had quite a few different words. And then after the retreat, this last weekend, we had our district retreat. And when we got the papers for that, it was about overcoming. And it was from the Bible verse, and we shall overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Which, don't you love when God just reveals himself and you know that you're on the right track? And I love that. Our verse, our Bible verse, was Psalm 22:22. I will praise you to all my brothers and sisters. I will stand up before the congregation and testify of the wonderful things you have done. And that's also at our district. Bobby Reed is our new women's district leader, and she shared her testimony. And it was an amazing testimony as well, and encouragement to others. So today, a couple of the girls are going to speak, I think, on their words, but they're going to elaborate on a little bit more. And so if you just sit back and relax and just soak in everything God has for you today and see where he's going to take you from here. We were all called to be disciples. We're all called to tell our story. So, Miss Sharon James is first, so let's make her welcome.
Good morning. As Jackie said, I am the first of three speakers of the ladies who traveled to the Stonewall Resort in West Virginia in early September. And before I speak on my word empowerment, I would like to encourage all the women of our church and all the men, when it's retreat time, do everything you can to go. Because one of the greatest things that you get out of that is the bonding with your sisters in Christ. You know, don't feel like, well, I'm not part. We are all part of one body. So the facilities were absolutely beautiful. There were so many activities. And we did have, and I loved how Jackie had organized it, we had so much time to be with each other. And on Saturday evening and Sunday morning, we came together to worship. Thank you, Emily and girls, and to share our testaments. And my word was empowerment, chosen by default because I wasn't looking at my emails from Jackie, and there were few words left, and I thought, okay, empowerment. Well, the Lord gave me, as Jackie said, he is just so good. I was in JCPenney's. And this T-shirt popped right off the shelf, empowered. So I knew I was going to be speaking the word that was meant for me. Empowerment is a noun. It means to become stronger and more confident, especially in controlling one's life and claiming one's rights. It's also defined as authority or power given to someone to do something. This word also means authorize, permit, allow, delegate, unfetter, emancipate, commission, qualify, unshackle, unchain, set free, give freedom to, empowerment. And these are a few quotes from famous ladies about empowerment. A woman is like a tea bag. You don't know how strong she is until you put her in hot water. Eleanor Roosevelt. If you want something said, ask a man. If you want something done, ask a woman. Margaret Thatcher. A woman is the full circle. Within her is the power to create, nurture, and transform. Diane Marie Child. Today in our society, and probably throughout our entire lifetimes, we have heard about people clamoring for empowerment all the time. The feminist movement, pro-choice movement, the socialist movement, and just a little sidebar here, invading our high schools and our colleges is this socialist movement. The children are not being taught the truth about socialism. It has never worked in any country. In fact, it's a breath away from communism and dictatorship, and the prime example is Venezuela. It had been one of the top 10 countries in wealth and power. And in 10 years after they voted in democratic socialism, that country's been destroyed, and we hear of hundreds of thousands walking north. Use your vote, investigate on your own. But this is something that is very frightening for our country. This is not a political statement. Just had to say that. The race equality in our country, where people are clamoring for their empowerment to be equal. And the list goes on and on. Empowerment for individuals and for groups of people has been both a positive thing and a negative thing, when it's empowerment that is accomplished as a worldview. The results of controlling your life and claiming your rights has led to millions of babies being murdered through abortion. And that's just one example. On August 18th, 1920, the 19th Amendment gave women the right to vote, a huge positive. It was a lengthy and difficult struggle, and it took decades of agitation and protest. So let's fast forward to 2020. And just see how empowered our women have become. The feminist movement in the 1960s and the birth control pill, Roe versus Wade and abortion in the 1970s, the demeaning and ridicule of stay-at-home moms and housewives in the 80s have brought us to a place where many women in this country are lost and confused. We need to teach our daughters the way of Christ. The worldview empowerment is unlike the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We talked about this today in Sunday school with Tammy, and I encourage you to come to Sunday school and hear what she has to say. He is our source. He is our power. The relationship with God, a relationship with God, is the prerequisite to this power. We can all be enabled or empowered to accomplish everything and anything that God has called us to. Abraham was empowered to leave everything he knew and everyone he knew to go to a new country and start over. Joseph was enabled to become the second most powerful leader in Egypt and save his family. Moses was empowered to set his people free from slavery and oppression and bondage in Egypt. Joshua was empowered to lead the Israelites into the promised land. David was empowered to strike a blow to a giant's head with a tiny stone, freeing Israel from the harassment of the Philistines, and then to go on and rule the nation of God's chosen people. These men were not qualified, but called and empowered. God does not call the qualified, but qualifies the called. In Acts 1, we begin to read where Jesus commissioned or empowered his disciples to reach the world with his message. Let's think about that for a minute. These were men who were not world travelers. They were not wealthy. They didn't have the money to use the fastest transportation of the day, which would have been a boat or a horse. They were poor and uneducated, and they lived a despised life under the Roman oppression. They were told by Jesus to travel throughout the world with no visible means of support, spreading the good news of God's salvation. Jesus, as only he could, gave them the power to succeed. He promised them the Holy Spirit, who would work through them to achieve God's plan. Remember that he told them not to leave Jerusalem until the gift the Father had promised, the Holy Spirit, came upon them. Jesus did not promise the disciples clout or influence. Rather, he promised power. The only resource they really needed in order to succeed at the job he had given them. By promising to supply what they needed in order to succeed, Jesus empowered his followers. As Pastor Rob has been teaching in his four-part series titled Believe, he states that unlike other religions, Christianity is not a set of regulations and instructions, but is a life-giving relationship with a person by whom and for whom we were created. It is not a matter of telling us what to do, but rather a matter of God empowering us to be the people we were meant to be. We cannot be the people we were created to be without the empowering touch of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. That same Holy Spirit who empowered those early followers of Christ enable us to serve and enrich our world today. That has not changed. The Holy Spirit is still here working in us and through us. And you don't feel that the call on your life has to be from up at a pulpit or in a classroom or behind a microphone or a guitar. The call on your life is the call on your life and the situation, the circumstance that you are currently in, have been in, will be in. He will enable you in each of those seasons. We cannot garner the power of the Holy Spirit in order to use God. We experience his power when we surrender to be used by him. He releases his power through us as we walk in obedience to him. The three ways that he releases his power to us are, one, through the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know why that was so hard to come out. God's power and only God's power enables us to exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which reveal the character of Christ in us. Number two, witnessing. Scripture always refers to the power of the Holy Spirit in relationship to witnessing and glorifying God. His power through us to enable us to carry out the work that we've been given. And third, through the work that we are called to do. Oop, I messed up there. Let me go back to my notes. Number three is the work that we were called to do. And again, that is important to me. I have never been a person that is like, well, I have to be like them. I'm thankful for that because I know so many people feel not worthy if they're not like someone that they may look up to or someone in a position of authority. But God will not place you in a position to ask you to accomplish a task for which he is not fully equipped, enabled, and empowered you. Even in the midst of personal doubt and fear, be encouraged today that you are enabled, empowered, in Christ to complete the call that God has on your life. He will empower you for the season you are currently in and beyond. Praise be to God. Amen. And before we leave, just a few scriptures to talk about empowerment. The first one is very well known, Philippians 4:13. If you would like to say it out loud. All things through Christ who strengthens me. And my own personal favorite, this was a scripture that I hung on my life and still do for a long time. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have, not I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Another one, if you want to write these down and look them up later, is Isaiah 40. Let me get this on my phone. Isaiah 40:29-31. And this is another beautiful one that's well known. And that just, there we go. Technology, I'm telling you. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isaiah 41 is another scripture. Isaiah 41:10-13. 1 John 4:4, Mark 10:27, Matthew 28:18-20. And I could go on and on and on. But the fact that we have something different than the worldview, and that is the Holy Spirit that we call on, who lives within us, who is our helper and our completer, for the task that we've been assigned for the seasons in our lives is the hope of hope. It's something that we can take with us in the darkest times and be grateful and thankful for when the times are easy. And now I will close with introducing the second speaker, Miss Renee Wright.
Good morning. So it's amazing that whenever God gets us together and we start ministering or just giving the word, and how awesome it is that he confirms. And the theme is definitely all the same at this point, because it truly is about discipleship and just spending time with God. And it was so funny because even with everything that I was, my words actually were achievement and readjustment. And they really popped off the list for me whenever Jackie sent that out. And it was so funny because I had started studying it. I had all this wonderful information that I was going to share with the ladies at the retreat. Whenever I actually get to the retreat, I realize that I leave all my notes at home. Therefore, I was like, okay, I think I remember what I can. Well, then I started getting anxiety ridden. And I was just like, oh my gosh, am I going to remember? What am I supposed to do? And what was interesting is that the stuff that I was going to talk about was anxiety. And how God, if we leave it in his hands and we give it over to him, then we don't have to experience that anxiety. So I had to teach myself a lesson through all of that. But really just knowing that God was in control and that he is in control of our lives. So the before I really dive into my words, there was a story that I got to share with everyone. And I love that it even correlated with what our sisters were talking about. But it's actually a story of a little girl. Her name's Anna. And Anna, unfortunately, whenever she was 8 years old, she lost her mom and she lost her little brother. And her dad really couldn't handle it. And he ended up trying to commit suicide by jumping out a window. Unfortunately, that fall did not kill him, but a seizure later that was a cause of that, he actually passed away. Then she had to deal with being an orphan. She didn't have any parents now. And then she ended up going to live with her grandmother. But as she grew up, her older brother, he ended up going and becoming an alcoholic because of everything that they had experienced as kids. But this woman actually, she actually grew. She persevered. And she was even known by being quoted that the highest standard for Christians is the life of Christ. Little Anna's name was Anna Eleanor Roosevelt. So with the things that she even went through, we often think, how do we get through and overcome horrible situations? How do we persevere through that? Well, we have to achieve something. And achievement is a thing done successfully, typically by effort and courage. How many know that it takes effort and courage to have faith to get through the things that we go through? And with that, Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." So it takes effort and courage to have the faith of knowing that God's going to get you through what you're going through. But how do we react when we actually go through what we go through? Mine, whenever I lost my or left my paperwork in my notes, I experienced anxiety. And I started to just fret about what I was going to say to the women. But what is your attitude toward the thing that you're going through too? How is it that we're responding to that thing in our life that has that obstacle that's before us? That somebody has said something negative toward us? How do we react to that? I know I'm not embracing. I'm going, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saying, no. No, sometimes my I have a knee-jerk reaction to say, how dare you say that to me? And then we actually have to get ourselves, though, to that point of being able to see past that negativity, that negative reaction that we're having towards something. Maybe it's something that you heard from a doctor that it wasn't good news. How did we react to that? When somebody actually slanders our name, we have to put up with that boss at work. That is just like either that person, that coworker that's just driving us nuts. How do we react to them? How are we reacting to that situation? Well, a way to that God wants us to act is actually we need to readjust. We have to readjust our behavior to achieve the desired result. Okay, so what is that desired result? It's peace. God wants us to have peace in all situations and circumstances. But the only way that we can gain peace is to know him, is to understand him. And when we have the courage to have the faith to get through what we're going through, we have to know who he is to have that faith. And we have to hold on to his promises that he can get us through that. So when we readjust and we're also, the readjustment is actually alteration or correction made to achieve that desired result of peace. In Psalms 34:14, turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. So there's things here that God is saying we have to physically do to allow him to work in us to give us that peace. We have to turn from evil, meaning we have to turn from our sin, and we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But for us to turn from evil, we have to readjust our attitudes. Because it's always that battle in the mind. It's always that thought process that we go through. And it's that thing that we need to impress upon our hearts to say, okay, God, I acknowledge that I was very negative toward this situation, toward this person. I took a negative stance when I heard that news to begin with. So when we do that, we have to acknowledge that we have that negative outlook. Then we have to readjust our thought so that we can achieve the peace. So with that, how do we do that? Well, we can pray. If we feel and see that we are being negative in any situation, we can pray. In Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord who goes before me, right? It is the Lord that goes before me. He will be with me and he will not leave me or forsake me. Okay, so now let's talk about that person that's truly offending you. I think the first thing in our thought and our heart, I know in mine, I forget my shield is with me. I forget that I actually ask for God's armor because I get offended. But we can also pray their name into that as well, that the Lord goes before them, that he is not going to leave them or forsake them. And so there's something that we have to say, God, I need you to take that back. I need you to help me get through what I just did, what I thought, my negativity. And let's turn it back into, God, I'm so sorry that I reacted that way. Thank you for forgiving me. I ask for your forgiveness, but thank you for showing me what it is that I should not have reacted the way that I did. But I thank you for what you're allowing me to see so that moving forward, I can experience that peace that I needed in the third place and that I can stand on your promise. So praising God is another way that we can readjust our attitude. And in praising God can simply mean speaking the truths about what we know about him. And that's how David actually starts his praise. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. So with that, he also sort of shifts into thankfulness, the ways that God has demonstrated his stability, shelter, and his deliverance. So it's whenever David said, it's in my distress, I called out to the Lord and I called out to my God. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, my foes, who were too strong for me. What? Too strong for him? That's crazy, because what was really cool about David is that he knew who his God was. He knew that he would go to every battle and win it, and he did. He went with the knowledge of knowing who his God was. So when we go through every circumstance in life, for anything negative that gets thrown at us, and our reaction should be, God, I'm going to think about the things that are true in my life and who you are. My thoughts are going to be on you. Not the thing that I'm dreading the most, not the thing that has hurt me the most, but I'm going to give it over to you, God, and say, I believe in you and I trust in you. So with that, we also have to make sure that we are getting the word in our hearts. So how do we do all this? How do we bring all of this together? It's spending time with God. We spend time with God in the morning, day in, day out. Every day we have to spend time with God. We have to get the scripture in our heart. We have to ingrain his word in our minds, in our thoughts, because if we don't, that's what all this stuff's going to creep into us and just like beat us up. I know that basically, road rage. I am in the car a lot. And I know that there are times when that car cuts me off. He gets in front of me, and I'm just like, seriously, that's not fair. I was here first. What are you doing cutting in front of me? Or if I'm actually driving and I inadvertently cut somebody off, not meaning to, I think, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. And I'm looking in a rearview mirror to go, I'm so sorry, and they're giving me sign language. Just wanted to revert your attention back to, it was not a thumbs up, but it's one of those things where it's like the reaction that I initially have was kind of, that kind of stuff is like, wow, seriously? Talk about taking an offense. But I also know that, I know that God doesn't want my heart to go there, because they are also a child of God. So that person that has just created that offense, I have to know in my heart of hearts that they are God's children too. And in reading that word and making sure that I have it in my heart of hearts, of who they are, it's basically saying, God, I know that they're your kid. And I know that they're probably going through probably a lot of things too in their life that has allowed them to get to this point where they felt it was necessary for that sign language to come out. So God, and I just say, hey, God, I'm, you know, just be with them, be with me, correct my heart, because it's my heart that I need to be in control of. I need to make sure that my heart is right before the Lord so that I can continue to have that peace that surpasses all understanding. So readjustment. Sometimes we just have to readjust our attitudes, right? So that we're not going off on a tangent and not feeling that anxiety and that anger and that depression and that sadness. That sometimes we actually have to readjust the way we even see ourselves so that we can see who God truly is and see his love. Sometimes we actually have to readjust the way whenever we see ourselves before we can move away from judging others or judging ourselves. So we have to be that living example of Christ-likeness and bringing the discipleship back into it, where we have to be that witness for the world. And when we can witness, it's really our reaction to all the things that are going on around us. And if we can show that we can have our emotions under control, that we are still going to love no matter what in the spite of it all, we are that witness. We are that disciple. You don't have to become a missionary to be a disciple. You become a disciple whenever you get the word of Jesus Christ in your heart, embedded in your mind, and whenever we have the opportunity to minister to someone, it could definitely be through how we're reacting to a given situation. So with that, just know that God truly knows everything you're going through. But to know how to get through the things he knows you're going through is to really get his word on your heart, to become that disciple, to walk in his footsteps. And another quote from Eleanor Roosevelt, we gain strength and courage and confidence by each experience in which we really stop to look fear in the face. We must do that which we think we cannot. And when we do, we achieve this through Christ who strengthens us. And I know that there's a ton of scripture out there that I could talk about as it relates to God empowering us, strengthening us, giving us what we need to get through the things that we can't get through ourselves, because we have to give it over to him. And the way we give it over to him and know and have the faith that we can do that is to make sure that his heart, his words are ingrained in our minds, and that we have memorized that scripture is going to get us through the things that we go through in life. So with that, John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So along with that, I know that our kids, we were and youth, were teaching about the armor of God. So the putting on that full armor, it's important. We have to know that we have the equipment out there that can protect us to get us through all that. So, Father, I just want to thank you so much for giving us a heart to know who you are. But, Father, just allowing those obstacles to be removed that we can spend that time with you so that we know fully and without a shadow of a doubt that you are with us and for us. So I just want to say thank you, Father, for the women that you had given those words to at the retreat, and for us that are being able to speak today your word. Thank you for the clarity, and we just thank you ever so much for what you have done for us and what you're about to do through us. In Jesus' name. All right, and last but not least, we've got Justine.
I just want to say before I start that the clock is on the floor face down. I don't know if that was on purpose or what, but, you know, I could go on for a long time. No. So the women's retreat, it was so wonderful. You know, out of each of the women's retreats that I've been on, I always think, this was so wonderful. Oh, this was so wonderful. You know, the next one. And the next one's like, oh my gosh, this. And there are things that I've taken from each of them that I've loved so dearly. And this one, I feel, though, with what we did with the testaments and everybody speaking and giving their little testimony or their perspective on the word, there was just nothing like it. It was so beautiful. So beautiful, so intimate. My words are anointment. I know that's not really a word, but I had some people at this school look at me when I said anointment. I said, I know, but it's testament. So it has to say meant on the end of it. So anointment and instrument. And I looked at those immediately and they jumped out at me. And then when it was almost time for the retreat and I still wasn't done writing what I needed to write, I was like, oh my gosh, why did I take two words? I should have taken one. But I knew that those words jumped out at me and I was worried about not having enough time for one of them. We had a certain amount of time that we had to stick with. And then what I realized after Renee went first, I believe, right, on the retreat, she did both of her words together and they took her 10 minutes. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's my answer. And I threw my words together. Anyway, that was just a side note. So anointment. I think this is all important, but it's because I'm a woman and I'm everywhere. So anointment. First, I want to say there are different types of anointing. We anoint the sick, lay hands on them, and pray for them to be healed. People can be anointed in their giftings, which is different than having talent. Priests, kings, and prophets in the Old Testament were anointed into their positions. For instance, Aaron was anointed as the priest. Elisha was anointed by Elijah. He gave him his mantle. He anointed him the next prophet, and which God told Elijah that he would do that. Saul was anointed the first king of Israel. Then he was unanointed by God. And then David was anointed. It's a matter of the heart, those anointings. So just an FYI side note, Jesus was anointed all three, and I thought that was pretty cool. I won't go into that because then that's a lot more, but Jesus was anointed all three. So we've all been anointed by the Holy Spirit. This is the direction that I'm going in with anointing. He's our mark of salvation and sonship. The key verses that I would like to look into today are 2 Corinthians 1, 21 through 22. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So when we accept Jesus in our hearts, we just get the Holy Spirit. We don't get part of it just because we don't know everything yet. We have the Holy Spirit in us, period. And Peter 2:9, one of my favorite verses, says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." I love that. We are his holy nation. We are a royal priesthood. We are his chosen people. I believe that when God created us, he chose us. He knew what he wanted to call us to. He knew exactly why we would come into being, exactly where we fit in his beautifully intricate, detailed puzzle. You know, we're each a piece. He chose us. But this type of anointing comes when we choose him. We have to choose him. We are all his creation. But if we want to be his children, we have to choose him, and then we become his. We have the Holy Spirit in us. I looked up some definitions of anoint or anointing, anointed, to smear or rub with oil as part of a religious ceremony, as chosen by divine election, or to designate, like we said, anointed, priest, king, prophet. Another definition says to consecrate or make sacred in a ceremony. You would apply oil. Another says to dedicate to the service of God. And I think as his anointed, we're all of this. We are anointed by God, by the deposit that lives. It's alive and active in us. The Holy Spirit is the life of God living inside of us, the breath of God, which is the voice of truth, discernment. It's that quickening in our spirit, that little voice inside, the little guy on our shoulder, not the other one. the memory bank for all God things. You know, we think, how can I remember that? I have a hard time memorizing scripture. I'm not going to remember that story. But listen, when you're in the Word and you're studying it and you're seeking God, when you need it, when you're having a conversation or when you need to remember it for yourself, God, we hear this saying, he quickens your spirit. He brings it to mind. It's in there. Even if it's not the exact words, it's hidden in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit alive in you. What other purpose in this life matters other than that we are God's children? So it's just so important to us that we know that he is in us as his children once we accept him. And we're called to love. We're chosen, marked by the Holy Spirit in us, henceforth dedicated to the work of the Lord. So, that's what I had for anointment. That was my short one. And it goes right into instrument because, and I think all of our words go together. They really do. But because we're his anointed, we must be used. We are all instruments. I'm going to speak about being his chosen instrument, but not without first saying this. I am merely an instrument. I am not the maker. I am not the creator. I am not the master. I'm not. I'm the instrument, the vessel, whatever you want to call it. That's who we are. He's the one who guides us. He's the one that we follow. Isaiah 10:15 says, does the axe raise itself above the person who swings it, or the saw boast against the one who uses it, as if a rod were to wield the person who lifts it up, or a club brandish the one who is not wood? No. There's somebody behind all of the instruments that they use, and we are the instrument, and we should be happy to be used, and happy to be used in the best way possible, which is nothing that we could think of or accomplish on our own. So let the master use you in the perfect way that he had planned for you. God is the creator. We are the created to be used as his tool, vessel, instrument. I cannot choose a project and hope that God's hand is upon it, although sometimes I do, and we probably all do, or we think, oh, I think this was God, maybe it was. You know what? We're human, and sometimes we get it right, and sometimes we don't, but we just continually seek God, and we are in his word, and we have an active prayer life with him daily. He directs our paths, even though we might not even realize we're walking down a particular path that he had set in front of us. We don't have to worry about it. He says not to worry about tomorrow. Today has enough of its own stuff, right? He takes care of it. He already has it mapped out. Remember, we're a puzzle piece. We get stuck in that puzzle right where we're supposed to be in the time that we're supposed to be put in it. He's the master craftsman, and I'm the instrument that he chooses to use for his purpose and plan. He ordains my steps, and I follow his lead, not the other way around. However, it's a privilege, a wonderful, amazing, beautiful privilege to be chosen, led, and to be used by the Most High. I am so humbled that he would use me for anything. Anytime I see, oh my goodness, I'm just like, I can't even tell you how my insides go. It's like, Lord, why are you using me? Why did you ask me to do that? Like, I know that I'm not good enough for that. I know I'm not qualified. And I know that he qualifies the called, but yet I think that's like part of our thorn in the side too. We know that we're not qualified. We know that it has to be God, and only God is the reason why we couldn't do certain things. We are used for certain things. Divine appointments happen, things like that. And I'm in awe often, like, Lord, why me? Why me? Even though I know that he wants to use us all, and he's our strength, but why? I'm an instrument chosen by God, designed and used for a specific purpose. So, as I'm speaking from now until I'm done, we are all referred to as instruments. And I have to do that because that's what I did on the retreat. Welcome to the women's retreat. Acts 9:15 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, instrument, and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. This is my command, love one another." I'm sorry, that was John 15, 16 through 17. Acts 9:15 says, "But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel.'" Both of those scriptures said that a person was the chosen instrument. You know, and when somebody is an instrument used for a specific purpose, you know, we have to let them be used. We will bear fruit as instruments of the Lord when we love. Because in John 15 here, it says, "This is my command, love each other." The greatest commandments are to love God and love each other. If we don't have love as our motive, instruments, we're not going to bear fruit the way that God has planned for us. We will still bear fruit, but it might be rotten. We will always bear fruit. We might still bear fruit, but it might be mediocre compared to what could have been. Make no mistake, the fruits of our spirit will always make themselves known, and the fruits of the Spirit will make himself known. We are always, always, always bearing some kind of fruit as some kind of instrument. Whose instrument do we want to be? What kind of fruit do we want to bear? Bear your fruit to the Lord, not for yourself or not for anyone else. And by anyone else, I don't mean do unto others as you would do unto the Lord. I don't mean don't go out and do things for people, don't serve. I mean driven by others, despite others, or against others. There's a quote that I love, and I can't tell you who said it, because when I looked it up, a gazillion people have taken credit for this quote. So you can put my name on it if you want. No. No, I was not that instrument. Okay. It says, "Don't compare your life to others. There's no comparison between the sun and the moon. They just shine when it's their time." You know, I'm a worship leader. Emily is a worship leader. And you could think that as a worship leader, it's just your job to go up and grab a microphone and lead people into worship. And I'm telling you, in my heart, it's so much more than that. And in Emily's heart, it's so much more than that. And at the same time, if we come together and say, "This is my heart of a worship leader as a worship leader, and this is mine," and we write it all down, you'll see something completely different on both papers. You know, because of our personalities, our other giftings, God will use you and your gifting the way that you're supposed to be used, as a different instrument from the other, even though we're still in the same family of instruments. You know, you have your woodwinds, your brass instruments, your percussion. If you don't know, now you do. You know, there are different instruments in each of those parts, but they're still used within that realm. So, we have to remember why and who we're shining for as we're being used as those instruments. Our purpose might be carried out in a dark room where the only one who knows of our success is the Lord. And that's okay. Or you've put so much into a specific purpose, never to know the godly outcome of it. You know, you were able to pray with somebody that you've never met before and you'll never see again, and you have no idea how it ended up. That's okay. Remember, the glory is the Lord's. We shine for no man's applause, but for the glory of the Lord. So there's this story that I heard, and then I found out it was part of a book, and I had to go get the book and read it. And it was one of the most beautiful things that I've heard, and it was really helped me in my journey as a worship leader, because oftentimes people come up to you and say, oh my gosh, your voice sounded so pretty when you sang that song. Oh, I love that song. I mean, you get the negative stuff too, but sometimes I feel like even the negative's a little bit easier than the positive, because we're so critical of our own selves that it's like, oh, okay, whatever. But when somebody's like, oh, you were so beautiful, I loved that so much, you're like, okay, thank you. What do I do with this? Like, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. It was, you know, I mean, I'm not saying there's necessarily a false humility, but I think it's easy to have that because we learn to just say thank you. I've been told, just say thank you. Just learn to say thank you. Okay, so then they just become words. Thank you. Lord, there has to be more to it than just words. These people are saying, thank you so much because God actually used you to touch me today. God used you to bless me today. And I know that he is the vine. I'm the branch. I'm the vessel. The fruit is what comes out of it, and it's all from him. But, okay, thank you. So, here's what I heard. Every time somebody says something to you like that, it's like they're handing you a flower. And you take those flowers, and you tuck them away. Each one is a flower, and you're so thankful for it. And later on, when you're by yourself and you're spending your time with God, you can get down on your knees and pull out this beautiful bouquet and say, Lord, this is yours. This is your glory. Thank you for using me. Thank you for using me, even though I'm not. Even though I'm not good enough. Even though I think that that didn't go the way I planned. Even though, Lord, it's yours. And this is yours. Thank you for using me. One of the most beautiful things I've heard. So, that is just a side thing. If you're not sure instruments, when you do a good job, how to take those thanks, the thanksgivings that are given to you, even though we know it belongs to the Lord, just remember them all. Tuck them all away. They're beautiful. And give them back. Our purpose is for the good of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's not for our own glory. It's not for our own goals or achievements. It's not for prestige. It's not for power. It's not for position. Not too long ago, somebody was saying something. Somebody was praising people and for their leadership. Nothing against leadership, because we need leaders. But as I heard these people being praised, I looked around and I saw all of the other people who aren't in a microphone every week. And I saw all the other people who are basically, you know, the crew behind the stage crew, the people who are sitting in the office doing computer work, the people who are cutting everything out for the person who's actually teaching. We don't see what everybody does, but each and every role is a critical part to the proper functioning of God's body. And we are all part of the body. And if you think, all I can do is pray, what is the best thing we can do in any situation? Pray. Don't think that's all I can do, because you have much to offer. Whatever you're doing, you have much to offer. It's for the glory of the one who created, called, and ordains our steps. He needed each of those parts to work. He needs us to step up and be used, however big or small we think it is. It does not matter what we think. What matters is that we are obedient. And if God says, hey, I want you to do this, we're going to be like, what? That sounds ridiculous. No, If he says do it, you might think that, but okay, what? It seems ridiculous, but I'm just going to, Lord, I still don't get it, but guess what? We need to keep walking forward. If he says move, we move. If we are not stepping forward when he tells us to do something, and oftentimes in the Bible, the scriptures will say, now go forth. Now do this. Now do that. He doesn't say, I'm going to tell you to do something. Sometimes we need to pray. Sometimes we need to wait. It's in his timing. But so many times, it's like he tells us to do something. We're like, oh, Lord, when should I do this? Like, okay, well, he told you, so why don't you start moving forward with it? And then he will bring it together. We have to move. And if it's not his timing, like if you go to someone and say, hey, I think God is calling me to this. I'm not sure what the timing is. God will make it fall into place, but you were obedient by stepping forward and going to somebody and saying, hey, I think I might be your helper. Maybe, I don't know, go to Pastor Rob. I think God might be calling me to this because he is our shepherd. He will help pray you through it. He will help give you insight where you might not see it. God will give it to you too. We have to be obedient. We have to move forward when we feel that God is speaking to us. And our discernment is better and better the more that we seek our relationship with him. So it's so imperative, no matter what we do in our Christian walk, to always seek him daily. Pray unceasingly. God is always in your heart, always in your mind, always there with you. It's a lifestyle. It's not a certain time of day that we say a prayer. It's not a certain day of the week that we go to church. It's who we are. We're his children, and he's always there. If our discomfort, so as God ordains our steps, like I said, we might be like, what? Sometimes it's uncomfortable. So what? Jesus was extremely uncomfortable. I'm sure we can be a little bit uncomfortable for him, right? He paid the ultimate sacrifice. He was beat up left and right. Sometimes we feel like maybe somebody's beating us up. They're like, oh, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're not good at it. Doesn't matter. That is nothing compared to what he suffered. Nothing. We can step out and be used. If our discomfort somehow plays a part in planting, watering, or shining on someone, then we're fulfilling our part as the children of God. Then we are loving them the way that we're supposed to be. When we're walking in obedience, we're loving God. So, instruments, I actually charge you today. Is God calling something out of you? Has he spoken something to you that you're not sure about? Step forward. Don't jump right into something, but step forward and take little steps. Get your feet wet. All right, Lord, where will you take me? Get in your word. Pray about it. Fast. Seek him. Find out what he wants for you and where he wants you to go. And if he doesn't give you that right answer, like I said, you might already be on the right path and you don't know it, but he has it set up and he decides where you're walking and when you're walking before we even know it. Oh, I think I'm going to go here today. Oh, there's a traffic jam. I have to go this way. Guess what? You ended up where you were supposed to be on that route instead of the other one. God planned it. He always takes care of it. We don't have to worry, like Renee said. And one of my favorite scriptures, she said in Deuteronomy, but I like it when it's repeated in Joshua because it says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you. But the one in Joshua says, have I not commanded you? Hello, I already told you once, do I have to repeat myself? Have I not commanded you? Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God will go with you. He will be with you wherever you go. I actually have that printed out and taped to my front door as a reminder, and I don't even know if my kids look at it or if my husband looks at it. It's been there so long, it kind of blends in, but it's there. And sometimes I glance over and I think, oh, that's what I needed right now. Don't be afraid. And again, I keep telling you, don't be afraid because I'm in control. You're in my hands. I created you. Instruments, let him use you. Father, I pray a word over each and every one here. I pray that your calling would become apparent in their lives if it's not already, Father. I pray that they will step out in faith, knowing that you are in control, that you will set them up with the right people in the right place, the right time, Father. And for those who are walking in it, Father, I pray that you will make it more apparent and more clear, Lord, that they are in the right place. And I pray that you would give them a passion that they've never known for right where they're at, Jesus, Father, and that it would grow and build exactly the way you want it to, touching the lives of those around them. Father, it's all for your kingdom. It's not for our own glory. It's not for our own purpose or what we think needs done, Father. It's all for you, for your greater kingdom. And it's not about a notch in our belt of numbers, Lord, but you do not wish to see one lost, and neither do we, Father. Help us to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we can only do that if we allow you to use us as the instruments that you've called us. Thank you, Jesus, and we praise you, Lord, in your name. Amen. And as we leave today, Father, I pray that you will remind us of all of the things that we've heard this morning, all of the little treasures and drops of gold that you have placed in our hearts this morning. Father, that we would leave here and we would worship you with the way that we live our lives this week, that we would seek you in a way that we've been struggling to seek you and we want to, or we would seek you with an even greater passion than what we've already been doing, Father. And as we go out into the world in our workplace or schools, Father, that a new light would be shining within us, out of us, into others, Father. Lord, that we would follow your steps, your leading, your guiding, trust that you have it all together. We love you, Father. In your precious name, amen.